the Armed Forces Radio Service when I was in England in 1938, when you and I were in 8th grade. No, 7th grade. No, 8th. I have a very strong association of this number with Miss Myers in an English class that I had that year. And that was the summer that, or the spring rather, that my father contracted double pneumonia, the thing that Eileen died of, I gather, because it was the quick fatal kind. Oh, sweetheart, I have gotta get a little bit more volume.
Just a gentle murmur at the stars.
I think you have this on one of your recordings anyway that I sent you. I hope so. The central portion where Ziggy Elman speeds up, I really don't care for. So, sweetheart, I'll leave that in the background and talk to you over here. Darling, I don't know, rambling on. As I mentioned to you, I have hours and hours of things of a very personal nature that I want to talk to you about. Just talk to you the way you talk to me. Tell you things that I think of you about. You said on the phone the other night, I was asking you how long your nightgown was, and you said it showed a little bit of your knees or something, and I said, gee, I wish I were there. And you said, don't think of sex. And I wasn't thinking of, sex. I was thinking of holding you naked, perhaps, as I do often. But this arises by way of love. You know, if you and I lay naked or something, it wouldn't necessarily be, with the idea of having a big splashing orgasm or something. It would just be my way of caressing you totally, your way of caressing me totally, perhaps, and exchanging love, just love. And when I say I want to kiss you here and kiss you there and so forth, and that I think you're beautiful, and no matter what your age or no matter whether you gained a little fat here or there, it's because it's you, and it's beautiful. It's you that's beautiful. You. And it's you that I'd be kissing. Darling, I want you to carry away that connotation. Okay, sweetheart? Do you remember summer of 42? 100 Parkway Road. Couldn't get the conversation going, at least I couldn't. And you were a beautiful girl on your summer vacation between your junior and senior year. And this number was on your radio. And your little combination brown radio phonograph was in the northwest corner of your 100 Parkway Road apartment on the second floor. And this song has always reminded me of you and brought tears to my eyes. The name of it is Goodbye, and you have it on one of your records that I sent you, and I've frankly begged you to play it. This is the number that is summer of 42 to me. You were so beautiful, Ian, that I just can't, I don't know. So, and I wanted to talk to you so badly. He recorded this about three times. I sent you the really good one because I wanted you to have it. This one's pretty good. What do we talk about? I don't know. We talked about, very little. We probably should have gone out and taken a walk or something. Your parents withdrew for the evening and came back after a little while. So, I don't think you remember that at all. The following summer let's say it was a previous summer, you'd seen Bob Crowley and a couple of really nice guys, I guess. Well, those days are gone forever. Those days are gone forever. Oh, God, Ian, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do things over? Those are kisses. Your tapes get me. I have to go off someplace. My tears just come. I haven't seen that movie, Summer of 42. I don't know if I can take it. I suppose I can. I'm pretty well emotionally put together. You do break me up. Hey, sweetheart. I'm gonna go up and turn the record off. This is a radio program on. May as well have it on for camouflage. Summer 42, 43. Senior year. I got all the way up to Camp McCoy. Camp Miles Standish. Shipping overseas. The SS Brazil. My first really long boat trip. 1944. We were on the watch for submarines and we'd have lifeboat drill. One thing that I did not do is get seasick. I thought I was going to. This was both going over and coming back. And there was a lot of popular music played on the shipboard PA. A lot of Tommy Dorsey, Glenn Miller, Artie Shaw. Artie Shaw was well, all the popular numbers at that time, Friend of Sea. It's 1944, they still played it in the Armed Forces radio. Something to take your mind off the boredom. There was nothing to do with calisthenics, read. And I probably thought more of Ruth Schissel of La Crosse, Wisconsin on this trip than any other time. Except most of my thoughts were on Ellen Smith, the sort of wife I adopted when going overseas. We got into England, Southampton, on a brisk November morning. And, interestingly enough, about that time, the British had invaded Greece. Or I should say, we're putting down a rebellion by the ELAS-EAM, which was some faction against. You know, the communists and the Nazis were fighting in Greece about that time. And the headlines were somewhat confusing. We were on a train after having landed in Southampton Harbor, going up the, I can't remember the name of that bight that we went up. I remember my first view of England. It was from shipboard. It was fascinating to me, absolutely fascinating. These cliffs coming off in the distance. And some very large towers, which I take were international radio, well, whatever the hell they used at that time for overseas wireless radio. I saw them off in the distance. Well, my first trip on a British railway train was really interesting. I was quite fascinated. We get into Bournemouth, alighted, and hiked, and for billets we had residences over in Southbourne, which was a suburb of Bournemouth on the south coast. This is all vacation area in peacetime, right on the channel. I think we're about two blocks from the channel, and it was an interesting experience. We had straw mattresses, which we filled, and we drilled and hiked, and I remember the local people threw a party for us in the nearby church. The Lord Mayor showed up with his big gold chain around his neck, I should say. This is customary. And we were supposed to meet the girls and the wives and so forth and dance with them, and I couldn't get interested in anybody. I remember we had a, in the course of all this, December 6th or so, I was on switchboard duty for regiment, and remember the Germans invaded Luxembourg again. This was a Battle of the Bulges underway, and we were quite depressed about this. Under the camouflage of Carlos Santana, a group that I am enthusiastic about, thanks to Michael. I'll try to carry on some messages to you. Listening and not talking, but I'll talk a little bit. 1944, Southport, England, South Coast. Intelligence school, which was interesting, staff school. Learned a lot about all the German infantry divisions. I forgot it all now. Made a date with a telephone operator, because I was message center operator. Had a beautiful voice. I was 18. Made a date with her. She must have been 33. I took one look, attractive 33, but I mean, what the hell? So glad to have met you. We both walked in our respective directions. That was her message to me. Oh no, you've got to change. We didn't even get that close. I don't think we got closer than 20 feet. Well, so much of this I think I've told you. Landing in Le Havre, January 6th. I had the flu going over. I was seasick on the overnight boat. It was also raining the night we left England. We had about, must have been 5 miles to walk in the rain, maybe six to the railroad station. Duffel bags take long. Not a big deal. France, Le Havre. My first view of France, obviously. French railroad equipment in the yards that we passed. Marched about 9 miles out of town. Spent the night in the snowy open field. I darn near froze to death. Sleeping bags. Fires didn't keep us warm. But then I wasn't particularly a He-Man type anyway. This music makes an excellent camouflage what I'm doing, making love to you. Well, darling, things could be worse. Up in her room on the second floor of the building practicing her violin. Kathy is getting dinner for Kitty. I'm in the basement. Oh, let's see. January 6, 45. We embarked for some place in north central France and spent about 10 days there. Built it in a farmhouse. We were in some sort of reserve unit getting ready to move up to the Siegfried Line. Finally left there, a long trip in a truck convoy. Buzz bomb went overhead. First one I ever heard, the only one I ever heard. Passed through Bastogne about 2 weeks after I'd been liberated. I'm glad it was after I'd been liberated. I wouldn't want to pass through there during the liberation. Oh well. Assumed positions in a little place called Burdorf, Luxembourg, opposite the enemy. Spent about 2 weeks there on patrols, observing. At the time I had the distinction of setting off a booby trap, which I had walked into. Only the fragmentation grenade went off behind a tree and I got a small scratch on me, and that was the end of that. I was amazed by the beauty of the Luxembourg countryside, and particularly at the border with Germany. A rather deep valley, well, in fact, a whole succession of deep valleys. We overlooked I remember one day, I was sick a good part of this time. I don't know, I had the flu or something. I was coming down with something because I was miserable a good part of the time, physically. We overlooked a deep valley, across the other side, German border. Down below is a very small toy-like town, because it was so far down, called Echternachtbruch. Sour River in front of us. And I got to thinking how stupid all this war is. You know, you get conditioned to hate the enemy and hate this and hate that. But, oh God, it seemed so damn dumb, all of it. It had to be done. But I think it was a pity. I made a river crossing under fire, which I told you about us. Somewhere else, I think. On February 6th, out of Echternach. Echternach was a fairly sizable resort town where we came in under fire. The enemy was shelling us from across the way. And, well, you just expect these things to come in. We got too used to them. That's when you start getting careless. And, the guy in the unit, who I liked very, very much, in fact, everybody did, got killed on patrol. Yeah. The following day after the river crossing, we... Oh, I don't want to go into all that, Ann. I just don't want to. You don't want to hear it anyway. To make a long story short, we were in combat, marching hither and thither and around, all screwed up, and I think we got 4 days of rest back in the capital of Luxembourg, during which period I was sick all the time. I didn't enjoy the rest at all. I was half dead when I was walking around over there. And I remember one night I had put my foot on what I thought was a curb. It turned out to be a ditch, and over I went, 4 feet, and I closed, and I put on all weapons. It's February 8th. I think probably I'm going to get pneumonia because there was no place to change. We were on our approach march. So, Luxembourg, I remember I got a letter from Ruth Schissel. Dear Jimmy, and there was a lot of affection in it, and I just wasn't, I didn't respond to it too well. As I told you about the letter, I had mentioned to her, look, cool it a bit, because there's another girl I like better, namely Ellen Smith. I didn't give her the name. And she said, I don't believe that. Well, I felt kind of badly about this. I didn't want to hurt Ruth. She was an awfully, awfully, really good egg. She had taken a terrific shine to me, and I don't know why. She wrote me in her letter that she'd broken up with some guy called Norm, who apparently liked her a great deal, and somebody else, and this is all to kind of wait for me to come back home. And this hurt a bit. I didn't want this with Ruth. I don't know whatever happened to Ruth today. For her sake, for God's sake, I hope she's happily married. But she was so dependent on somebody to make her happy, and I just wasn't it. Well, I was almost glad to see that leave over. We rejoined our units, that is, those of us who'd gotten on furlough and back up to the front. Our unit was nicely ensconced in a great big German bunker. Real deep affair with bunks on it, you know, where the soldiers of the Siegfried Line hung out. And there was some really delicious German canned beef in there, which we readily consumed. It's interesting the way they did this. The Germans always fascinated me, the German army, everything about it. I made quite a collection of souvenirs, which I managed to have hot for me later. I had two helmets and this and that. I could have brought back all of Germany with me. Well, let's see, ramble on. We reached the town of Elschwilig, which, the name, the translation of which something or other. I had gone on patrol that night over to a neighboring town where another unit was encamped, another regiment, I believe, our division. Remember, there was a bunch of German prisoners that we had taken the night before, and I were quite unhappy at the fact that we were holding them in an area that was their people were shelling. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, really. I can't imagine why you'd be interested. And it was 4 miles away, that area, and every so often shells would come over, and, you know, we might also run an enemy patrol. I wasn't exactly in shape to meet anybody that night. It was a large hospital, wounded all over the place, German wounded, our wounded, Red Cross is on the top, and we suspected that maybe the Germans were using that Red Cross as some sort of an aiming point, which sometimes they did. They use a hospital down below and put an observation post up on top. I think we did the same thing. I don't know. Nothing was sacred. Nothing is sacred during war, believe me. Our atrocities, their atrocities. Well, came back the following day, got a little bit of sleep. The following morning, I think I wrote you, I was one of four people. I was in charge of escorting 100 German prisoners back to a collecting point, and three other people were with me. One of them I still correspond with. And, I marched them in the wrong direction. After about 2 hours of marching, seemed like about 6 hours, after about 2 hours of marching, I wound up exactly where I started from. Because I was just ill. And after that, I wanted to get some rest. And, you know, because we were billeted in this town at a very, very nice location to hole up in, clean sheets and all that, right in this town that was under shell fire. And my sergeant, Sergeant somebody DeLornet from Michigan, I think he runs an auto place up there now for sales, he said, I said, I think I'm going to go over to Battalion 8 and get something. I don't feel well at all. He says, well, hurry back, Andy, we need you. That's what I was called in the Army, and I loved it. I was called Andy, not Jim. Well, yeah, a lot of guys call me Jim. Nobody called me Barrett, of course, but Andy. And I was one of the boys, and I was Andy, and I really appreciate it. I went over to battalion headquarters, and this young medic who was in charge, Andy, you look like you're going to die. Lie down. So I did. 105 fever. You are going back to get some medical care. Well, that was all right with me. I said, gee, they accept that we're awfully short of patrol personnel. Are you sure that is necessary? You're going. So I went. Curiously enough, in the ambulance, following morning, and I went back in, right above me was one of the German prisoners that I was escorting the previous day. The guy had been very badly wounded in the leg, and I had, I thought he was falling behind, I had lunged for him, you know, to scare him, and he got scared as a dickens. So, I mean, you know, they were, had been coached that Americans committed atrocities too. I couldn't have shot anybody, and I was nervous. I just couldn't have done it. I helped direct fire for a tank destroyer on 50 people who were off in the distance running faster than I've ever seen men run, except perhaps not quite as fast as I ran when Armand Willis and I got caught in that barrage I wrote you about. And back to a field hospital. I was there for about 3 days. And airlifted my first plane trip by a C-47, which is a DC-3 twin-engine Douglas job, back to an area further back in Luxembourg, a hospital, an actual hospital in operation there, and I was there for about 2 weeks. Great military career I had. And I remember one night some German bomber came overhead and plastered bombs right around us, and windows in our place all blew out. And now the following day, a couple of days later perhaps, I know the food was awfully good. There were nurses there, and the food was just delicious, but just an awful lot of time on my hands. Books to read, so forth. Yank, we read. Other GI publications. And we're airlifted out of there to Paris. And that was something. I saw Paris coming in the distance. I think I wrote you that you're taken off the plane, and the guy who had my stretcher was in full Luftwaffe uniform. I thought, oh my God, I'm in the wrong area. This guy was a prisoner. Well, some German uniforms are actually beautiful. I wish I could have bought it off of him. And I was in a hospital outside of Paris, which is a very nice place to be, a very well-staffed hospital. And I finally, 2 weeks after that, I decided I'd better go back to England. I was steadily going back, you know, so I went to some place in England. recording again, that stay in the British hospital, I'd be getting letters from Ellen every so often, and every day I think they'd play Artie Shaw's, Dancing in the Dark. What the heck else do they play? Listen to this in the background, by the way. It's Michael's tape, Carlos Santana. And if he knew how much I played it, I think he'd be out of his mind. I absolutely love it. Oh, back to England. What other Artie Shaw do they play? Temptation.
Takes us up to
until July 19th, 1945. The day I got discharged, everybody in the hospital, with the exception of about 10% of the staff, came down with ptomaine poisoning. I was there getting over that. This piece in the background I mentioned to you reminds me something very strongly of you. Maybe it's because I think it's like you. This particular passage in here reminds me of the time you were getting married to Bud for some reason. This part reminds me of you.